This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Start, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mabu'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah I also testify that all the prophets and messengers That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Qur'an al-Kareem and didn't mention in the Qur'an al-Kareem that Allah has sent to all mankind are the prophets and the messengers of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we will continue with the series of the prophets and the messengers, the stories of the prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent as guidance to mankind. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبُهُدَاهُمْ اِقْتَدِهِ That are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided, so follow their guidance. And we are here to follow the guidance of the prophets and messengers. They are the best of people, the best of examples, and the best of role models that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to mankind. And tonight, we'll be talking about a special prophet and messenger. One of the greatest prophets and messengers after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned him in the Qur'an al-Kareem and his story in the Qur'an al-Kareem over 70 times. The most mentioned prophet and messenger in the Qur'an al-Kareem. And obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't mention him so many times in the Qur'an al-Kareem for no reason. Obviously, there's a reason. And one of the reasons the scholars had mentioned is because this prophet and messenger was considered to be from the most patient prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to his people. And there's a lot of similarities between us and his nation. So the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this prophet and messenger. Obviously, you all know which prophet and messenger I'm talking about. We all know which prophet and messenger has been mentioned the most in the Qur'an al-Kareem. It is Prophet Musa. Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam has been mentioned in the Qur'an al-Kareem in over 70 verses. Over 70 times in the Qur'an al-Kareem. The most mentioned prophet and messenger in the Qur'an al-Kareem. Now, obviously, when we talk about the story of Musa alayhi salam, we have a lot of details about the story of Musa alayhi salam, but there's more details on the story of Musa alayhi salam in the Torah and the Injil, in the Old Testament and the Bible. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned, and we mentioned this hadith to you before, that ye can mention and state or narrate the narrations of Bani Israel, the Israelites, as long as it does not clash or contradict our belief or aqidah. But, inshallah, we want to stick to the Qur'an and Sunnah. Whatever we find in the Qur'an and Sunnah, we're going to narrate. We're going to mention. Whatever we don't find in the Qur'an and Sunnah, we're going to allude to it and we'll mention it's not from the Qur'an and Sunnah. And it's up to you whether you want to believe it or not. So if it's in the Qur'an and Sunnah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something in the Qur'an and Sunnah, you have to believe in it. You don't have that choice. If it's something outside the scope of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and it's something that's from the Torah, something from the Injil, something from the Jews, something from the Christians, it's up to you if you want to believe in it or don't want to believe in it. And we mentioned this so many times in the past. So tonight, we shall talk about a special prophet with a special story. But I want you, along with listening to the story of Musa alayhi salam, I want you to connect Musa alayhi salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the nation of Musa alayhi salam to us. I want you to create that connection between us and the nation of Musa alayhi salam. Now we all know Musa alayhi salam is from Bani Israel, from the children of Israel. And who is Israel? Israel is a prophet. His other name is Yaqub. And when we spoke about the story of Yusuf and Yaqub, we mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salam became the strongest or the most influential man in Egypt. He was right under the king, but in reality, he was ruling Egypt. And we mentioned the story how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, or they've done against Yusuf alayhi salam, but the family of Yusuf alayhi salam were living in Palestine. And then later on, when he encountered with his brothers later on, he asked them to move away from Palestine and migrate to Egypt. When Bani Israel migrated from Palestine to Egypt, obviously they migrated during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, who was a strong ruler and an influential person in Egypt. When they migrated from Palestine to Egypt, now obviously in the position and the status of Yusuf alayhi salam, his family, his brothers, his mom and dad, his entire tribe lived in Egypt very respectfully. They were considered to be the most respectful tribe in Egypt. Even though they are non-Egyptians, even though they're not from the indigenous people of Egypt, even though they're not from the Egyptians, they're outsiders, they are foreigners, they are migrants, if you want to call them, who migrated from Palestine to Egypt. But because of the status and the respect that Yusuf alayhi salam had in Egypt, obviously his family, when they migrated from Palestine to Egypt, they had that status and they had that respect. And during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, Bani Israel, and we're talking about Bani Israel being a small number of people that some narrations say don't even exceed or didn't even exceed 100 people. And this is not in the Quran and Sunnah narrations. But obviously he had 12 brothers, mom and dad. Each one of them will have maybe 4 or 5. So we're talking about roughly 100, 200, 300, Allahu A'lam. But they were a small tribe as opposed to the indigenous people of Egypt or the original residents of Egypt. Who lived in Egypt, obviously had tribes, maybe they were in the thousands, if not in the tens of thousands, if not in the hundreds of thousands. So Bani Israel started in Egypt. In Egypt during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, in which Yusuf alayhi salam was ruling Egypt, so Bani Israel lived an honorable and a respectful life in Egypt. In particular during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. When Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, and not only that Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, because with the passing away of Yusuf alayhi salam, obviously the influence of Yusuf alayhi salam and the influence of Bani Israel went with it. And the king that Yusuf alayhi salam, Bani Israel were living during his time, passed away. Another king came along that led Egypt and he became the king of Egypt. This king that came after the king that was during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam was a tyrant king. And during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, there was only a king. Before the time of Yusuf alayhi salam and after the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, that king became Fir'aun. And the word Fir'aun is an Egyptian word that means a king of Egypt, or the hierarchy of Egypt, or the master of Egypt. But during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, the leader or the ruler of Egypt was known as the king, al-malik. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. But during the time of Musa alayhi salam, it was Fir'aun. Fir'aun is a title, not a name. Fir'aun is a title, like the king's title, the prime minister's title, the president's title. It could be other names, but it's a title. A lot of people have that perception that Fir'aun is a name. Fir'aun is not a name. Fir'aun is a title to the king of Egypt. Like how you have Khosrows or Caesar or Heraclius as the titles of the Persian emperor or the Roman emperor, and the king of Egypt was known as Fir'aun. Decades went after the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, or Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers and his family are now living in respect and honor in Egypt. And during that time, during the time of that king, they had a lot of respect, they had a lot of influence in Egypt until that king passed away and Yusuf alayhi salam passed away. So the influence, the honor and the respect of Bani Israel in Egypt started to diminish. Started to diminish. Over the course of time, not only started to diminish, but Bani Israel from being one of the most respectful tribes or nations in Egypt, during a time of the Fir'aun, of Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel became the slaves to the Egyptians. And it became a law in Egypt. And the Egyptians were known as the Coptics. Aqbat. That's another name of the ethnicity. The indigenous people of Egypt were known as the Aqbat, Coptics, as we name them in English. Now, when you say Coptic, you refer to an Egyptian Christian or an Egyptian from a Christian background. Okay, we don't want to go into the details of that, but back then, the Coptics are the indigenous people or the original residents of Egypt are known as the Aqbat. And obviously, Fir'aun is from the Coptics. And he wanted to give a higher status to the Coptics over Bani Israel. So what did he do? Is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem. Ja'ala ahlaha shi'a. Fir'aun had started to create parties and classes in Egypt. So you have the Coptics, who are the original residents of Egypt, are considered to be the high class of the Egyptian people, or those who are living in Egypt. And Bani Israel are the lowest class. And he set a law, he legislated literally a law, that Bani Israel are the slaves of the Coptics. After the war, after there were the hierarchies on one stage. During the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, Bani Israel were the hierarchies. They were considered to be the rich people, the high class people. Until that time, where decades went past after the death of Yusuf alayhi salam and the king that Yusuf alayhi salam was living during his reign and during his time, then over the course of time, over time, the king of Egypt or Fir'aun started to treat Bani Israel as slaves. So now you've got the hierarchies of Egypt are the Coptics. And then you've got the slaves, the lowest class of people in Egypt are Bani Israel. So you could imagine that during the time of Musa alayhi salam, or around the time of Musa alayhi salam, not just exactly when he was born, we're talking about years before the birth of Musa alayhi salam. So we're talking about around that era and around that time, Bani Israel were treated to be slaves. From being up there to being to the lowest status. And when we say Bani Israel, we're talking about Bani Israel, the children of Israel, Israelis who are Muslims. Bani Israel as what? Well, as Muslims here. We're not talking about Bani Israel as Jews. This is what we believe in. Bani Israel is an ethnicity, a race, but they were Muslims. Yusuf alayhi salam is from Bani Israel. Musa alayhi salam is from Bani Israel. Many prophets and messengers are from Bani Israel, from the children of Israel. But their religion is what? Their ethnicity and race is Israeli, but their religion is Islam. They were Muslims. So Musa alayhi salam was born during a time and era where Bani Israel were enslaved. Bani Israel were treated to be slaves by the king and the pharaoh of Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran al-Karim in Surah Al-Qasas. Taasim mim tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Natlu alayka min naba'i Musa wa fir'auna bilhaqi liqawmin yu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we are narrating the story of Musa and Fir'aun for people who are believers, for a nation of believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating the story to you as believers for you to know about Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, and also to know about Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention the Quran al-Kareem. Inna Fir'auna ala fil ardi wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a. يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحي نساء منه وكان من المفسدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Fir'aun, and again Fir'aun is a title of the king of Egypt back then, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says على في الأرض. He became so big on earth to the extent that he started to claim lordship. Fir'aun started to tell people, I'm the lord of the universe. Previous Fir'auns and kings before him did not claim lordship. They did not follow the religion of Yusuf alayhi salam. So for example, the king during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, he wasn't a Muslim, nor that he was a follower of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was a non-Muslim disbeliever, but at the same time, did not claim lordship. Did not say that he is the Lord of the universe. But we're talking about this Fir'aun during the time of Musa alayhi salam. Not only that he was a disbeliever, but he claimed to be the Rabb. He claimed to be the Lord of the universe. He claimed to be the creator and the master. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem. He mentioned, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I'm your exalted Lord. I'm your Rabb. Wal-iyadu billah. So you could imagine the tyranny and the oppression, the injustice and the brutality of this Fir'aun during the time of Musa alayhi salam. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes mention in the same surah that we just recited to you that he divided his people into classes. The Coptics, who are the original residents and indigenous people of Egypt, they had the highest class. And Bani Israel were the lowest class. And Bani Israel were enslaved to the Coptics. So they were treated as slaves. And then subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to turn things around. And we're talking about decades, if not centuries, where Bani Israel were enslaved by the Coptics. They were slaves, they were treated as slaves. They were doing the hard yards, they were doing all the labor work. While the Coptics, the Egyptians was just watching or enslaving them or just instructing them and ordering them. And you could imagine the oppression that Bani Israel encountered throughout that time. But Bani Israel, because of their iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their prophets and messengers, they had hope. They had hope. And part of that hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sending to them, a prophet that will save them from the tyranny of Fir'aun and his people. At the same time, Fir'aun had picked up on that. And some narrations narrate that Fir'aun saw in his dream one night that a big, massive fire came all the way from Jerusalem, Palestine, into Egypt that destroyed all the houses and the entire Egyptian empire and did not touch the houses of Bani Israel. All the houses of Bani Israel went intact, but the rest of the houses of the Egyptians, including the palace and the empire of Fir'aun, were destroyed. That's what the Egyptian king or Fir'aun, la'natullah alayh, saw in his dream. And we're talking about a time and era of Fir'aun, especially that Fir'aun during the time of Musa alayhi salam, where magic was something big, was prominent, and magicians were respected. SubhanAllah, if you look into the prophets and messengers, every time and era of a prophet and messenger, you find that there's something more prominent. Like the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what was prominent during his time is poetry. And what was prominent during the time of Isa alayhi salam was medicine. And what was prominent during the time of Musa alayhi salam, magic. Magicians had a high status. They were respected in society during the time of Musa alayhi salam and the Pharaoh of Musa alayhi salam. And that's why the Pharaoh had surrounded himself with magicians. They were his senior advisors. He used to consult them and seek advice from them. So I want you just to imagine and depict the time and era of Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam and that time and that space. So magicians were prominent people. They were respected people. They had a high status. They were the close people to Fir'aun. So Fir'aun and the Fir'aun of Musa alayhi salam saw in his dream one night that a big massive fire coming all the way from Palestine to Egypt that destroyed all the Egyptians' houses and destroyed the palace of Fir'aun and left the houses of Bani Israel untouched. So the next day he had spoken to his magicians and obviously they had interpreted that dream that it's soon to come a man from Bani Israel, he'll be born and he'll destroy your empire. He'll destroy you and destroy your empire. So what did Fir'aun do? Exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem. Fir'aun, he thought about it. He said, what am I going to do? Am I going to let this person to be born amongst us and then let this person grow from amongst us and let this person destroy us even though he's amongst us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. So he had taken this policy in which he started to kill all the male children who are born from Bani Israel. Any baby boy that's born from Bani Israel to be killed. And he started with that. He pursued that. It's not like he implemented that. And he commanded his soldiers that any new baby that's born from Bani Israel and it's a boy, kill him. يَسْتَحِي نِسَاءَهُمْ, which means let their baby girls alive. يُذَبِّحَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, he'll kill all their baby boys and allows the baby girls to stay alive. And he started to do that. He started to kill any baby boy that's born from Bani Israel because of the fear of that this baby boy could be that potential prophet that Bani Israel are waiting for and can be that potential person that can come and destroy Egypt and destroy Pharaoh and his army and his empire. But then later on, after he implemented this and he started to kill all the baby boys and destroying them, and he started to spread around and his soldiers started to go around and went around to the midwives from Bani Israel, and they threatened them if they do not report any baby boy that's been born from Bani Israel, they'll be killed in return. So you could imagine the petrifying and the terror that Pharaoh and his army had put within Bani Israel. So the midwives from Bani Israel start to report any baby boy that's been born from Bani Israel, and then the soldiers of Pharaoh will come and execute them and kill them. You could imagine what a big test. A mother that's carrying and falling pregnant and carrying this child for many months, and then when she delivers to that child, waiting for that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses her with that child, and then if it's a boy, he's killed. So you'd rather not even fall pregnant from the very beginning. And if it's a girl, they're allowed to stay alive. يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. But you know what? The people of Fir'aun, the Egyptians around Fir'aun, and the senior advisors around Fir'aun, and obviously when we say the Egyptians, don't connect them to the Egyptians these days. Egypt is one of the biggest Muslim countries around the world. We're talking about the Egyptians back then. So we're talking about Fir'aun and his people and his nation. When they ordered to kill any baby boy that's born from Bani Israel, they thought about it. If we're going to kill all these boys in the next 20, 30 years, who's going to do the labor work and who's going to work for us? Who's going to be our slaves? Okay, we've got their women, we've got their girls to work for us, but at the end of the day, you need men. So they thought about it. It's not doable for them. It's not viable. If they're going to kill all the children for the next 20, 30 years, that means after 30, 40 years, they're not going to have any men from Bani Israel for them to do the hard yards and do all the labor work. So Fir'aun thought about it. And he consulted the people around him. And he sought their advice. So they said, okay, 1 year we'll kill, and 1 year we don't kill. 1 year of pregnancy of baby boys will kill, the following year, we let them alive. They had to take that risk. They thought about it, and they had to take that risk. So the year that they didn't kill, the year they didn't implement killing of their baby boys or the Bani Israel baby boys, Harun alayhi salam was born. The following year, it was Musa alayhi salam. And most narrations indicate that Harun was older than Musa. Most narrations indicate that Harun was older than Musa. Because I've read some narrations that say that Harun was born after Musa. Regardless whether he was born or not, but most narrations say that Harun is older than Musa. Regardless whether he's older or younger, but the year that Fir'aun and his army had implemented in not killing, Harun was born. So he was safe. He was born safely, he had no issues. But the following year, it was the pregnancy of Musa alayhi salam, in which Musa alayhi salam was about to be born. Subhanallah. Big test. Some narrations say that by the time of Yusuf alayhi salam to the time of Musa alayhi salam, Bani Israel had grown to the extent there was about 600,000 of them. So you're talking about from about 100 during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam all the way to the time of Musa alayhi salam to about 600,000 of them. And I've investigated and searched, and part of my research, some narrations say that there's about 5 generations between Yusuf and Musa alayhi salam. Other narrations say there's about 10. Allahu a'lam, regardless. But at the end of the day, Musa alayhi salam and his family, they all go back to Israel. They are all from the children of Israel. Israel is Yaqub alayhi salam, 12 sons. Those 12 sons are considered to be the children of Israel. That's why Bani Israel during the time of Musa alayhi salam were also divided in 12 main tribes. Each tribe goes back to one of the sons of Yaqub, one of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, including Yusuf alayhi salam. So the year that Musa alayhi salam was born in is the year that Fir'aun had implemented the execution of the baby boys of Bani Israel. Now he's pregnant, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and obviously she's concerned about her pregnancy. And she's stressed, like every other woman, like every other mother. She felt pregnant, looking forward to that moment that she gives birth to that baby. But now, if it's going to be a boy, by the moment that this baby is going to be born, he's going to be executed. And who's spying? Her own people. Why? Because the midwives of Bani Israel were threatened. If you're not going to report any baby boy that's been born from Bani Israel, you're going to be executed in return. So it's life-threatening situation here. It's not something that people can really compromise on. Unless someone has strong faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءُمْ وَيَسْتَحِي نِسَاءُمْ. He had oppressed Bani Israel and he mistreated Bani Israel. He put them as one of the lowest classes. He makes their baby girls stay alive, their baby boys die. And now that year that Musa alayhi salam is born in is a year that he was killing the baby boys of Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ. We revealed to the mother of Musa, suckle him. Suckle him in which way? You know, she's concerned. She's worried about her pregnancy and if she gives birth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Here, أَوْحَيْنَا. Prophets and messengers are only men. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire someone with something. Sometimes like Allah put something in your heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put something in the heart of the mother of Musa. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired Bani Israel, وَكَذَلِكَ وَنُمَكِّنْ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will strengthen and empower Bani Israel. Yes, they've been tortured, they've been persecuted, they've been mistreated, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ. We're going to make Bani Israel the heirs of this earth. Are we going to make Bani Israel big one day? Yes, now you've been oppressed, but one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you power. And this is something that can be conveyed to Bani Israel through one of their prophets and messengers before Musa alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired their religious leaders, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned to them that the persecution and the torture that you are going through, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to advance you, and Allah is going to make you prosper, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make you big. So right now you go through hardship, but after hardship there's an ease. And Bani Israel were anticipating for that day that this prophet or messenger or that savior will come out and take him from the tyranny and the oppression of Bani Israel. So they had that belief that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take him out of the situation they were in. And Umm Musa, the mother of Musa, she's pregnant with Musa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her to hide her pregnancy. And that's why she reduced from her public appearance. She reduced from going out to the public. Why? Because obviously if she's pregnant, it's going to appear on her that she's pregnant, which means people will be watching her. She's going to give birth to a baby boy or a baby girl. So the moment that people find out that she's pregnant, people will be waiting. She reduced from her public appearance and she stayed at home, which is a big hardship here. Staying at home for 6-7 months so people don't find out that she's pregnant, that's a big struggle and it's a big sacrifice. So you could imagine that the mother of Musa alayhi salam, or alayhi salam, the mother of Musa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased from her. She stayed in her home, she stayed in her house for many months until she gave birth to Musa alayhi salam. Now it's a boy. If it's a girl, alhamdulillah. And the other alhamdulillah, she's not going to be executed, but it's a boy. Alhamdulillah, it's a boy. But you know what? Allah a'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with me. Because right now, sooner or later, the news is going to come out that the mother of Musa and the mother of Musa and the family of Musa had given birth. The mother of Musa had given birth and the family of Musa, they've been blessed with a baby. But this baby is a boy. And now the law is that Pharaoh is implementing any baby boy from Bani Israel to be executed. And that's the year that he's executing all the baby boys. So she became very concerned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to her a revelation not of prophecy and inspiration. You know that thought that Allah inspires you with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired this righteous woman and mother, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and arda'i, suckle him. Take care of him like every other baby. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّ رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلِهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. When you become too concerned over your baby boy, and you know that the news is about to break out, and people will now notice that you've got a baby boy, which means what? It'll result to his execution, his death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired her. Allah had instructed her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided her and mentioned to her what Allah azza wa ta'ala inspired her by her understanding. And فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, when you become too concerned, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ, put him in a chest and cast him in the river. What river we're talking about here? The Nile River, which is the famous river in Egypt, which is the largest and the biggest river in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired the mother of Musa when he became too concerned over his son, Musa alayhi salam, put him in a chest and then cast that chest in a river. You know, when you really think about it, even if Jibreel comes down to you and tells you, look, you know, your newly born son, put him in a chest and go and put him in a river or go and put him in the sea. We listen to this story and we say, subhanAllah, you know, well, that's a nice story. This is a huge sacrifice. What are you talking about? Do you think that's easy for a mother that just fell pregnant and carried this child for many months and then after she gave birth to this child, now Allah tells her, go and put him in a chest and go and put him in a river? That's a big sacrifice. It's not an easy sacrifice. So don't just enjoy listening to this story and say, well, Allah, it's a very nice story. This is a huge sacrifice. It's not an easy thing to be done. And you could imagine that these people, these righteous people, how much sacrifice they've sacrificed for Islam and how much sacrifice they sacrificed for them to preserve their religion. And I want you to reflect upon you preserving your identity in this day and age, where there's a lot of challenges we as Muslims encounter. Our sisters are wearing hijab and they encounter hardships and difficulties. They are a target. And you as a Muslim, when your name is Ahmad or Muhammad or any other Muslim name, or because you look like a Muslim, because you practice or you behave like a Muslim, sometimes you are a target. And we as a Muslim community, we are a target. But imagine, and I want you to reflect upon the sacrifice that the mother of Musa had sacrificed in order for her to preserve her identity and her son. Put him in a chest and just throw him in the river. That's not an easy sacrifice. That's suicidal. It is. It's a huge sacrifice. But yet, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything will become easy. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِ وَلَا تَخَافِ وَلَا تَحْزَنِ. On top of all this, after you do this drastic move, after you do this scary move, that you put him in a chest and then you cast him in a river, don't be afraid. What do you mean, don't be afraid? This is not an easy thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't be afraid. وَلَا تَخَافِ وَلَا تَحْزَنِ. Don't be afraid and don't be concerned. Ya Rab, how? This is a baby boy, few days old. I just put him in a chest and I threw him in a river. What do you mean not to be scared and not to be concerned? Of course I'm scared. Of course I'm concerned. But you know what? When it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't be scared and don't be concerned. Exactly like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was in the cave of Thawr and the non-believers came to capture the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They stood right in front of the cave. And Abu Bakr is so scared over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, don't worry, Allah is with us. When you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, don't be scared. When you are with Allah azza wa jalla, don't be grieved. When you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't be concerned. How could you even be concerned when you are with Allah azza wa jalla? You need to be concerned, are you with Allah or not? So right now, the mother of Musa alayhi salam has been inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put him in a chest and cast him in a river. On the top of all this, don't be scared, don't be concerned. Inna radduhu ilayk. We're going to bring him back to you. Subhanallah, bring him back how? What about if the river just takes him somewhere else? What about if a crocodile comes and eats him? What about if someone else captures him? Subhanallah, it's a huge sacrifice. So Allah says to her, cast him in the river, don't be scared, don't be concerned. We're going to bring him back to you. Not only we're going to bring him back to you, وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. On the top of all this, we're going to make him a prophet and a messenger. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, what a sacrifice. What an amazing sacrifice. From this believing mother, from this righteous mother, put your son in a chest, throw him in the river, let the river take him wherever the river wants to take him. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that controls the river and where the river flows. But don't be scared. Don't be concerned. He's coming back to you. Not only that he's coming back to you, he's going to come back to you as a prophet and a messenger too. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this to you, what's your conviction? What's your conviction? Where's your faith? Where's the certainty that you've got? Well, the mother of Musa had that certainty. She had that yaqeen. She had that conviction. Yes, I'm going to do what I'm told. I'm going to put him in that chest. I'm going to cast him in the river. I'm going to leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she did that. She put him in a chest. She cast him in a river and let the river take him wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take him. وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّي فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. On the top of all this, she told her daughter, the sister of Musa alayhi salam, follow him. Follow this chest and see where this chest is going to. Now the whole thing, this whole scenario, this whole drama, this whole movie now is about what? This whole action is about what? Making sure that she protects Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun. So where did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that chest land? On the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. Subhanallah. Ya Rabb! I did the whole thing to you, run away from Fir'aun. Now you take him all the way to Fir'aun. It's all in the hands of Allah. It's all in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wants. This whole drama, she's doing all this because she wants to safeguard her baby from Fir'aun and to protect her baby from Fir'aun. And Allah tells her, go and cast him in the river and leave the rest to us. So Allah takes this chest and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this baby all the way to the shore of Fir'aun. Subhanallah. Allah works in mysterious ways. What you see from the outside is different to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned and decreed from the inside. And that's why you need to have faith in Allah. You need to have certainty in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised. So right now, this chest goes all the way to the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّي فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Subhanallah, she's following that chest. She's a mother at the end of the day. And as much as conviction and certainty she's got in the promise of Allah, she's a human being. She's a mother. She's a woman. But a strong believing mother and woman. And the sister of Musa alayhi salam, the daughter of the mother of Musa alayhi salam, followed that chest. وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّي. Follow it. See where the chest lands. And where did it land? It landed on the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. It landed on the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. فَالْتَقَطَهُ. Who captured this chest and this baby? آلُ فِرْعَوْن. The family of Fir'aun. The people of Fir'aun. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? From the outside, you're looking at it. That's it. My baby is gone. Finished. The person that I'm trying to protect my baby away from is the person that my baby now went to right in front of his hands. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Yes, we sent them to Fir'aun and the family of Fir'aun managed to capture Musa alayhi salam. And we're talking about a baby here. لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. So Musa alayhi salam will become their enemy later on and he'll become their biggest grief. He'll become the biggest grief of Fir'aun. Don't worry. From the outside, look at it and calculate it the way you want. But at the end of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has plans. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fir'aun, Haman is senior advisor and minister. وَجُنُودَهُمَا, and his soldiers. And he had a huge army. Some narrations say he had over 1 million soldiers. Sorry. Over 1 million soldiers. That Fir'aun and his minister Haman and his soldiers, and we're talking about an army that exceeds probably 1 million soldiers, كانوا خاطئين, they were all wrong. They were all wrong. They were wrong in their calculations. They were wrong in their perception. They were wrong in their belief. They were wrong in their tyranny. They were wrong in every single angle, in every single aspect. And Allah will prove them wrong later on. Subhanallah. So now who embraces Musa alayhi salam? The wife of Fir'aun. وقالت امرأة فرعون قرة عين لي ولك. Subhanallah. This is one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made about Musa alayhi salam. This is one thing that Allah had embedded in Musa. Any woman that looks at Musa when he was a baby, she fell in love in him. Including the wife of Fir'aun. When the maids and the soldiers and the people in the palace of Fir'aun managed to get hold of that chest and open that chest, there was that beautiful young baby, or that little baby. They brought him to the mother of the wife of Fir'aun. They brought Musa alayhi salam to the wife of Fir'aun. When the wife of Fir'aun looked at Musa alayhi salam, and her name is Asiya, and we'll talk about Asiya, like she's another righteous woman that we'll talk about later on. When they brought Musa alayhi salam to Asiya, the moment that Asiya gazed at Musa alayhi salam as a baby, she fell in love with him. She couldn't let go. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ. They straight away knew he's from Bani Israel, because they know the skin color, the looks. They knew that he's from Bani Israel. And this is the year that he killed the children and the baby boys of Bani Israel. But when the wife of Fir'aun saw Musa alayhi salam, saw that baby, in particular that she was barren, she never gave birth, and she's been longing for a child. She saw that child coming right in front of her house, right in front of her palace. She captured that child. She took him in. She fell in love with that child and said, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ. I'm in love with this baby. لَا تَقْتُلُوا. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا. Maybe we'll make benefit out of him. أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. We'll take him as our own son. Especially that we don't have any kids. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعَرُونَ. Don't tell people about it. خلاص, we'll just say, I fell pregnant, gave birth to him, and this is my son. Subhanallah. So now, the second phase of the love of Musa alayhi salam starts in the household of his enemy. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for to destroy later on. But right in the household of who? Of his enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his promise, in which Allah will return Musa alayhi salam back to his mother right away. How and when? We'll talk about it next week. بإذن الله تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك